Torah, Northwest London, Tuesday, Chof Tes Sivan, 28th of June, Harav Mordechai Weisschlitter, the secret to all blessings. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Nishmas Reb Zev Ben Reb Doiv Zichroi Levrocha, Dr. Littlestone, whose Yortzeit was on Sunday.
Morning, everyone. So, as always, I will start off by thanking Reb Dudi and all the organizers for giving me the opportunity of being part of this wonderful start today, the Torah Way. It's my honor and my pleasure, my privilege every single time to take part in such a wonderful thing. And I should be able to continue for many, many more years. This week's passion. Parshas Korach. So, as Rabbi Yanki already announced, the title of this shiur, The Secrets to All Blessings. So Rabbi Yanki says, I seem to have always all the secrets to life, all the secrets to the success in life, the happiness in life. It's all there, open in Chazal. I'm not mechadosh anything. All I do is I try to bring it down practically, but nothing I'm going to say is going to be my own big chiddush. It's all things which are very, very clear in Chazal. This week's Parshas Korach was a very, as we all know, a very tragic story of Korach, who was one of the greatest people in Klal Yisroel, and he fell and was so low. Within and of Machloikis, he made a Machloikis and waged a war, friction against Moshe Rabbeinu, and it didn't end off very, very positively. He ended off, but as it says in Pusik, the Rabbeinu Shloilem made a very, very interesting type of punishment, something which we don't usually find. Pusik says, in Beriyu Yivru Hashem, if the God is going to create a new type of creation, Ipotzu Adum as pew on the ground will open up its mouth, Ibolo Oisim and is going to swallow them, V'chol Ashelahem, then you will know that Aniya, that I am right and he was wrong. And that's exactly what happened. V'tiftach Uretz as pew, V'tivlo Oisim. The ground opened up its mouth and Korach fell down. Now, this is something which is very, very strange. And I think that I'd like to perhaps offer a suggestion. Hashem could have chosen any type of punishment to punish Korach. He did something terribly wrong. He could have chosen a punishment that he should be burnt in a fire, he should drown in the water. It's a very strange type of punishment that we don't find anywhere. Bri Yuvra Hashem. Hashem had to create a new creation, open up the ground, should open up its mouth, swallow up Korach, something which is a very strange type of punishment. And what? There seems to be some connection between this type of punishment and the avayda that Korach did, which was making machloikas, which was waging a war. What's the word of machloikas in English?
Conflict.
What?
Dispute.
By creating dispute between him and Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the connection between the punishment and the sin that he did? Another interesting thing that Rashi brings down, which we don't find anywhere else, Rashi says, Boyer I kamu gudoil onshoy shel machloikas. Have a look, see how bad and how terrible this terrible sin of friction and dispute is. That usually we find that a person does not get punished for things that he did in this world up until the age of 20. Up until the age of 20, he's not punished in the world to come. But here, when it comes to the inyan of machloikas, even yoin kashadayim, even little babies who never even sinned, were all also got swallowed up in the ground. So we see how bad and terrible machloikas is. And not only the person who does the actual dispute, but even his entire family and his little kids, the little babies, also get involved. So the question is, we know that made up by Mishpat Yama, the world. So Rabbeinu Shlomo, he runs the world. It has to be extremely, everything has to be 100% just. It has to be, what's the just in that? Why should the little baby who did nothing wrong, why should he be punished for a sin that his father did? So I think that also needs to be explained.
Where's the
call
for that?
Rashi brings it down.
We should find the exact Lushan Rashi here. Adusim Avirim, yeah, it says, let's see if we can find it. Here we go. It's in Pusik. Pusik Chuf Zayin. It's in Pusik Chuf Zayin. That you see, but when the Shayim, the Nine, the Tapum, they all got swallowed down. Adusim Avirim, his wife, his kids, and his little babies. So from here you see how terrible the sin of dispute of Machloikis is. Another interesting thing that we find in the Pusik, that Mishra Baini tells Klal Yisrael, please go away and make sure to run away from, don't stand close by to where Koyrach lives, where Dusan Aviram lives, because maybe you will also be taken into this punishment. And the question is again, if he did something wrong, he'd get punished. If he didn't do anything wrong, why should he get punished for something that didn't do wrong? Why should I not stand close to them? Benjamin could make it that only the people who did something wrong, they should get swallowed up, and the ones who didn't shouldn't get swallowed up. And possibly find that, no, don't even stand close to them. If you're going to stand close to them, then penti sufi b'chol chatoisim, you will also be included in the punishment. And the question is, why is that? Medrash Rabbi says something that we find something very, very interesting. Medrash Rabbi asks a question, and in fact it's brought down, in Masechtas Derecheiretz it's brought down, in the Masechtas Derecheiretz, it's printed in the back of some of the Gemuras, and there's a whole Pairik called Pairik HaShulam. Pairik HaShulam, Shulam, that's peace. And the Medrash asks the question, why do we find that every single tefillah, almost every single tefillah that we ask, finishes off with the Indian of Shulam? Every single tefillah. So it starts off the Birchas Krishma, finishes off with Froy Sulaini Sikas Shulamechu. The last Bruchon Shemene Esra finishes off Sim Shulam, please put peace. Finish off the ending of peace of Shulam. And the end of the Lekaine Tzoyer, that's the last part of the Shmoneh Esrei, that itself finishes off, that's added on, the added on afterwards, that also finishes off. Oysa Shulam Imreimav. Birchas Kahanim finishes off, the Yusayim Lechu Shulam. Benching, we finish benching, Oysa Shulam, and the last piece, Yiras Hashem, also finishes off, Hashem Oysa Lami Yitun, Hashem Birchas Hamim Bashulam. Why does everything finish off with peace? Why is it so important? So Beitz in the Medrash brings down on the fact it's brought down in the Gemurah, says Amoyer de Gezach. And I'm going to put it down slightly different to what it says, but that's exactly what it says there. Amoyer de Gezach, imagine a person, let's take for example a person, a poor person who needed money, he was in a dire situation. He came to the king and he pleaded and he asked him, please, I'm in such a bad situation, I have no money, I haven't got money to put bread on my table, please give me some money. The king was a very compassionate king and he said, no problem, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. Go downstairs, that's where I keep all my treasures, and come and you could fill up whatever you want, any bags you have, I'll give you a 10-minute slot, fill it up and take it home with you. But there's one thing, obviously you can't carry these things in your hands, you need to bring a plastic bag. If you bring a plastic bag, you'll be able to put it into your plastic bag. So he quickly runs and he finds takes up from this cupboard the first carrier bag that he got from any of these, the last shop he had. And he comes running to the king's treasures and he starts filling it up. And he's so happy, so proud of himself, he managed to fill up a big, big bag. And he runs home to his wife and he tells his wife, you won't believe it. That's it. We're now rich for life. We're the wealthiest people in the whole of town. She says, really? He says, yes. I just filled up a whole bag. Full of all the king's treasures, and he says, we can keep it. So, let me see it. So he takes out this bag, opens it up, and it's empty. And he is devastated. He says, I can't believe it. There was a daylight robbery. Just 10 minutes ago, I had a whole bag full of stuff I took out from the king's treasures, and it's empty. I don't know what happened. So the wife gives one look at the bag, and he says, there was no daylight robbery. There's one little problem. There was a tiny little hole underneath the carrier bag. He just took the first carrier bag he saw, and he didn't notice that it was a tiny little hole. So what happened was, the entire way home, it kept on falling out, all the treasures. By the time he got home, the bag was empty. Shteiter Chazal, Amoyer de Gezach. Chazal say, whenever a person daven Shmoneh Esrei, and he asks, for example, Burech Olayni, please Hashem, I beg you, please give me panusa. Hashem always says, no problem, here you are, I'm going to give you, fill up your treasures. But one thing, bring along a carry bag. And the person comes along with this carry bag, but he didn't notice that it has a tiny little hole underneath. So what happens is, it falls right through. So then he comes running back to the king. That's unfair. You told me you're going to give me treasures, and you said I could fill up my bag. I came home, there was nothing there. King says, that's not my fault. I told you clearly, bring me a carry bag that has no holes inside, because if it's going to have a hole inside, it's going to fall through. You come to Hashem and you ask Hashem, I beg you please, Rifu'ayni Hashem and Arufa, I need health. I need it so badly. Hashem says, no problem. I'll give you health. But one thing, bring your carry bag. And he brings his carry bag and there's a hole inside. It falls right through. And then he comes complaining to Hashem, why wasn't my tefillah answered? I dabbed to Hashem, why wasn't tefillah answered? Zogt Reb Shimon ben Chalafta Moedige Zachen, Uptelemutsu HaKudesh Burichi Kaili Machzik Bruchali Yisrul. The Rebbein Shalom did not find a kaili, a vessel, which could hold inside all the blessings. Elu Hashulim. Hashulim, that's peace. Peace, that is the vessel. Peace, interestingly enough, in English it's actually spelled differently, but you pronounce it the same. Peace means one peace. It has to be, if it's a peace, if it's Shulam, if it's Bishlaimus, then it could hold all the vessels of blessings inside. But I think I'd like to add on something which is very, very important. I think that's the most important part of this Kiddush. People have a tremendous mistake, a tremendous misunderstanding when it comes to the inner peace. People think living peacefully with other people, not having dispute with other people, means not to outwardly do things which are involved in dispute. Don't go and denigrate the other person. Don't go and speak badly about the other person. Speak negatively about the other person. Don't go and do things to the other person. But then you have these people who, inside, they're tremendously angry at the other person. They tremendously have a grudge, to bear a grudge against the other person for something that the other fellow did wrong to him. But they're very, you know, they're very noble people, and they're not going to go outwardly do anything wrong. They're never going to say a negative word about the other person. They're never going to do anything wrong to the other person. They're just going to keep it to themselves. Now, that's a very bad mistake. Machloikas has nothing to do with the fact whether you outwardly do things to the other person. It's got to do one thing. In your heart. Is your heart whole? Whole, I mean, as W-H-O-L-E. Or does it have a hole, which is H-O-L-E? If the person has inside of his heart, he has a tiny little grudge, he is at odds with the other person, he has a negative feelings about towards the other person, then that means he has a hole in his heart. His vessel has now got a hole inside. All the blessings he's now going to get from Hashem is going to fall right through. Even though this person did do nothing, he did nothing against the other person, but since deep down inside, he is not complete. Shulam is a lushim from Shleimus. Shleimus means it's whole, it's complete. It has to be a complete vessel. As soon as the person has anything negative towards the other person, then that means his vessel, his carry bag has a hole inside, and everything is going to fall right through. And I think that's the most important thing that people have to know. Famous Torah Kahn, in which Rashi brings down the Pashas Bechikoysa. V'nasati shulim. Rebbeinu Shlom promises Klal Yisrael, V'nasati gishmeichem be'itam, will give you all the tremendous blessings. But the person, the Pusik goes on to say a very important word. After he says all the good things I'm going to give you, V'nasati shulim buretz, Rashi says, why do you have to add on shulim? I've already given them everything. They have abundance. They have blessings. They have everything they need. Zogt Rashi moyer legevete. Zogt Rashi, Im toima, if you will say, Harai machle, harai mishte, we have food, we have drink. Zogt Rashi, im ein shulim, ein klim. If you haven't got shulim, then you have nothing. Why is that? Very simple. Because you have a hole in the carry bag, and everything is going to fall right through. And the truth is, this is something which people could see in real life. Something which people could relate to in real life. You have people who could be extremely wealthy, they have everything going for them. They have everything they need, they have health. But they have a tremendous, animosity? Animosity towards the other person. They have to go around with these bad, negative feelings towards someone, which someone did to them, and it eats up the entire being. They're busy the entire day thinking about this other person, what he did wrong and how he did wrong, and it just eats up their life. They have no serenity. They can't even think positively because the entire day is eaten up by thinking, how could this person have done this bad thing to me? And so you see it with Hish. He has all the blessings in the world, but he has nothing. Because since he's going around and his heart is not complete, his heart is going around with a grudge against another person, he has nothing. He can't enjoy his life.
Come on.
Calls an end to Shavili, correct, yeah. But here's the problem. We hear this all the time from people. People say, You're right, but it's his fault. It's his fault. He was the one that did it to me. I did nothing wrong to him. He went and he did this thing to me. How could I forgive him? And the answer to that question is, you are 100% right. But let's think for a minute about this example we gave before. This poor person comes along with this carry bag. And after he comes home, he finds it empty. And his wife says, Why did he take a carry bag that has a hole inside? He says, it wasn't me. I brought the bag which was complete. On the way there, my friend came along with the scissors and he made a hole inside. I saw him doing it, but it was his fault. He made a hole inside. The wife is going to tell him, you crazy person. I know it's his fault, but you saw him making a hole. At the end of the day, there's a hole. It doesn't make a difference who made the hole, whether it was him, whether it was yourself. At the end of the day, there was a hole inside and everything fell right through. So the fact that you say that the other person's to blame, you could be 100% right. But that's still not going to help anything, because you're still walking around with a hole in your heart. Your heart is not complete, so everything's going to fall right through, regardless of who's at fault. You're right, maybe he'll get punished for taking away your blessings, but at the end of the day, you're going to be left without your blessings because you are walking around. So people say, why should I forgive him? You don't need to forgive him. It's highly recommended you should do that for a very, very simple reason, because otherwise all your blessings are going to fall right through. Isn't that a good enough reason? So people often say that, you know, he did me this and this damage. But what he doesn't notice is, what he doesn't realize is, that the damage he is doing to himself by not forgiving the other person is many, many, many times more than the damage that the other person did to him. Because the other person did to him a very limited damage. But the damage that he's doing to himself is unlimited. Because as long as he's walking around with this hole in his heart, everything is falling through. And the person, by default, gets a tremendous amount of abundance. Every single time a person davens Shmoneh Esrei, every single time a person says Birchas Hamuzon, every single time a person goes to Birchas Koyanim, he gets blessings from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He gets abundance. The Mishnah says, The Mishnah goes on to say a whole list of things that the person, his reward is put away for him in the world to come, and he reaps the fruits, he reaps from the interest, so to speak, that the Ribbono Shel Olam pays for his, he reaps on this world, he gets the reward on this world. And these things are Gemilas Chasudim, Gemilas Chasudim, by some medrash, that learning, there was never a generation in the world that had so much Gemilas Chasudim as our generation. Go into the book and look how many Gemachs there are. And every single thing you can think of, there's a Gemach. Yeah. The tremendous amount of Chesed is mind-boggling. And when you think of the amount of Torah, unprecedented. There never was a generation that had so much Torah like this generation. All these different things. Where is all this abundance? There should have been so much more blessing on this world. And yet, there never was a generation that had so much suffering as this world. People suffer financially, physically, and emotionally. Where is it? Where is all the blessings? People should have had so much more blessings. So many Shmoneh Esrei, so many tefillos that we've davened over the years. Where is it all gone? The answer is, people are walking around with carry bags that have holes inside. The blessing comes down, it just has nowhere to land. There's no landing. You have an airplane that's looking for a place to land. There's no airport. As long as there's no airport, there's nowhere to land, because everything falls right through. So then people ask, I davened so hard. And I asked Hashem, and where is all the blessing gone? The answer is, I don't know. I know exactly where it went. It fell right through. It fell right through. Had nowhere to land. And we see this. Why do we see that even if it's the other person's at fault? We see it in this week's parasha. This week's parasha, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu went, picked himself up, and walked over to Dusan Vaviram. Now, you have to understand what these Dusan Vaviram are. These are the two biggest lowlifes in Klal Yisroel. The biggest troublemakers who did non-stop trouble from the day they were born. The people who, talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the biggest leader in Klal Yisroel, they wanted to kill him. They tried to get Paro to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. And they got together now with Korach, and they managed to get 250 Rosh Hashanah Drus. They got together 250 of the greatest leaders in Klal Yisroel to come out against Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, could you imagine what that means? You take Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest leader, the greatest person in Klal Yisroel, and you take these two lowlifes who are doing non-stop trouble and trying to get the entire Klal Yisroel against Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am going to walk over to Dusan Vaviram to try and make peace. How is that? How dare? They should come to me. Why should I go to them? They're the ones who are at fault. The answer is, you're right. Zogt Rashi, Mikan, Sh'ain, Machzikim, B'machloikus. It doesn't make a difference, because Moshe Rabbeinu knows one thing. As long as there is friction, as long as there is machloikus, there is no blessing. There is nothing. There's no good thing. Nothing good could come out. It's, even though it means that he is a wrong and I am a right, it's worth it for me to go out of my comfort zone, to go to him and try and make peace. Even though it says in them, Uvalameda says in Tehillim, Bakaish Shulim Virotfai, he run after Shulim. Running after Shulim means one thing. It means to say that Shulim is something which does not come naturally. If a person's gonna say, I'm gonna stay in my comfort zone, I'm not gonna go out of my comfort zone, he won't be able to make peace. Peace means going out of your comfort zone, going, even though the other person's at fault and I am at right, I'm still gonna go out of my way, and I'm going to do something which is lefnimish, then more than I have to do in order to make peace. Back in Shulim Rodfai, on that Chazal HaKadoshim say the tremendous thing, Dovid HaMelech says, Oyav Yumim Liris Toiv, a person who wants to have live a long life, a life full of goodness, then this is what he should do. He should do Back in Shulim Rodfai, and the Gemurah, in fact, those who learned Afayomi, then very recently the Gemurah brings down that the Gemara brings out that the person who is Oisek in Shulim, there's a Gzair Shuvim. It says that Roidav Tzedukah v'Chesed Yimtzu Chayim Tzedukah v'Kovet Yul v'Zoichet V'Chayim Tzedukah v'Kovet. But this is the thing which is important to know, that Shulim has nothing to do with the person who is wrong, like we said before. It's interesting to mention something which Reb Chaim Pelagi brings down. And he says exactly this point, that people think that only the side which is at fault is going to get punished. So this is what he says. Ki ani agever, rasu aini, my own eyes I saw. Me yoim sh'om dolat, from the day I became a badass. I saw ki kol ishvu ishvu, every man or woman, mishpulcha, any type, any family, medina, any country, irvu ir, any city, shehoye b'nai machloikis, that there was friction between them. Leyotzi and the kiyam abayis kittus. Neither side went out clean. Venil ki baim begifam baim memoinam. And both sides were punished begifam abim memoinam. So that explains another important thing also. Why, when it comes to machloikas, the Rambam says, not only should you not be self-involved, but don't even go close to a machloikas. When you see a machloikas between two other people, don't stand close to them. And the hesbar is very simple. If you're traveling in a boat, you're traveling in a ship, and you're in the same ship, you're in the same boat, and there's a person down there sitting in his room with a drill, and he's drilling a hole in the wall, and the water's gushing in. So you tell this, you're an idiot, the whole thing is going to drown. He says, I'm doing it only in my own room. You have nothing to worry about. In my room, I'm going to make the hole. Everyone knows that he's silly, because if his room goes down, the entire boat will go down. The same thing here, machloikus is a hole. It creates a hole, and the ship is going to drown. Anyone who's going to be inside the ship is going to drown together with it. The Rambam tells his son in a letter to his son, Reb Avrum, he says that if there will be any type of machloikus, he said, "Esrachak memeni, run away from it, pentisufi b'chol chatoisam." There's a famous story from the Eidem of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim had a son-in-law called Reb Aaron Cohen, and he came to live in Eretz Yisrael in a neighborhood called Shaare Chesed. And the people were so excited to have this such a great personality living in their midst. So they went and they gave him a place to live, and they gave him everything he needed. And he lived there for a number of weeks. All of a sudden, one day to the next, he disappeared. And after a few days, people saw he wasn't coming back. They were getting very, very nervous, and they knocked on his door. No answer. They break open the door. The entire apartment is empty. He is not there, and none of his belongings are there. So they got very extremely worried. They asked around if everyone knows where his whereabouts. And someone said he remembers a week ago, he saw in the middle of the night, and he picked up all his belongings and he went away. So they finally tracked him down. He was living in Yafoi. So they went down to the city Yafoi. They asked him, Rebaron, did we not do enough to you to make it comfortable for you? Why did you run away? He said, listen to this. He says, before I left Europe, I went into my father-in-law, the Chofetz Chaim, and I told him, please tell me, where should I live? Should I live in Yerushalayim? Should I live in Bnei Brak? Should I live in Tel Aviv? Where should I live? Which city should I live? Chofetz Chaim said, he told me these words. He says, my dear son-in-law, it doesn't makes no difference where you should live, but one thing. Promise me that you will never ever live anywhere close to where there is a machloikus. If there's any type of machloikus, you will run away from there as quickly as you could. So he said, I lived in this town, I'm so happy to live in the city. All of a sudden, there was some friction going on, who should become the Gabbai and the Bais Medrash, a tiny little thing. I knew, I promised my father-in-law that I'm never going to live in such a place. I ran away as far, in the middle of the night, I ran away. I couldn't stay there even for 1 minute longer, because my father-in-law told me that I cannot live in such a place. And the reason is very simple, because he did not want to be, he knew that if he lives in this ship where there is machloikas, chulil v'chas, the ship will drown. That explains why Rashi says that even little babies are involved. It's not a punishment for them. They did nothing wrong. But at the end of the day, they are living in the same boat. If the boat will go down, then chulil v'chas, they will go down together with it. With that, you can understand why Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, says, run away. Do not stand close to them. And the reason is very simple, because if they're going to go down, you're going to go down together with it. And I think with that, we can understand why the Shem chose this very peculiar type of punishment, which is to open up a hole in the ground that went down. Because this is what Machloikas does. What Machloikas does, it creates holes. It creates holes, and everything which is there folds right through. This is what Machloikas does. So that's what Rebbein Shlom told him, a message. This is what you, Koirach, did. You created a hole. And that's why you went all the way down. We could talk about this a lot longer, but I'll finish off with a beautiful story. Finish off with a beautiful story that was printed in the Hamidiya a number of years ago. The story was told by someone called Reb Moshe Zorin. The story happened about 20 years ago. There were two women who from a very, very young age did not get along with each other. They were constant friction between them, and they did not get along. That's talking when they were still little young girls, and as they were getting older, everyone knew that these two girls did not get along with each other. They got older, and they got married, and they set up their own families. They weren't even on talking terms. And if they were on talking terms, it wasn't very positive talking between them, and it was very negative. Everyone knew these two women did not get along with each other. At some point, they were getting a little bit older. They were already almost middle age, and I guess one of the women called, let's call it a Scheindel. She started making a cheshbon nefesh, and she said, listen, she's not getting any younger. And how long is this going to continue for? And she must have heard some inspirational speaker of some sort, and she decided, that's it. It's time to make peace. I cannot continue any longer. She picks up the phone to her friend, and she tells a friend, and friend picks up the phone, and she says, hello, this is Shane speaking. There's silence on the other side of the line. And she says, I wanted to apologize for everything I did. And from now on, I want to make peace. And there was silence. And then all of a sudden she could hear sobbing from the other side. And then she started sobbing, and they were crying on the phone for a long time. And they decided there and then that that's it. Whatever they did until then is behind them. From now on, they're going to live b'shulim with one another. So as they were talking, the Scheindel says, you know what? I thought of a very ancient, very beautiful plan. So what is it? He says, I just noticed now I'm making chasna. In 2 months' time, I'm making chasna. I would like to make a surprise for all the people who are going to come there. I know all my friends and my family are all going to come there. They're all going to come to the chasna. They're going to come over to the head table to say mazel tov to me. I want there to be a surprise guest who's going to be sitting directly next to me. So the friend asked, who is it going to be? He said, it's going to be you. You're going to come along to the chasna. You're going to sit head table next to me. So this way, every single friend and family member who's going to come over to say mazel tov to me will see you sitting next to me. And with that, everyone will see that we made peace between each other. And they will learn, many years of chanyas, and they will also learn to make peace. And this friend on the other side is extremely excited with this idea. And she said, yes, I'm going to do it. She goes over to a calendar to check the date. And then she notices all of a sudden that it's not going to work. Says, why not? Says she had a medical appointment that same night of the chasana, which is almost impossible to get. She waited for years to get this appointment, and if she's going to cancel it, she's going to have to wait another half a year. She calls back a friend in tears. She says, I'm so sorry. I would love to do it, but I can't. I have an appointment that day. She says, please try and cancel. There's nothing. It's impossible to cancel. The Scheindel went over to her roof and told the roof the whole story. And she says, listen, I know that this is going to make the peace. If we're not going to do this, it's not really going to be concrete. I don't know, what should I do? The roof says, I think I'll tell you what you should do. If it means so much to you, push off your chasana. Push off the wedding. See if you can push it off. So she picks up the phone to the person who's in charge of the hall. She says, please, could you tell me, is there any other dates available around about that date? He looks up on his calendar and he says, interesting, you're asking. There's a cancellation 1 week later. If you want, I can give you the date 1 week later and you can make your chasna. She called back a friend and she says, listen here, my friend. He says, I made arrangements. I pushed off my chasna a whole week because it means so much to me that you should come to my wedding. She was so taken aback and she said, believe me, I will be by your wedding. Said, 2000, and this I think happened in year 2001. 24th of May, 2001, there was a hall in Eretz Yisrael called the Vesalius Hall. That unfortunately, a tragedy happened. The entire wedding hall collapsed, the floor collapsed. Nebuchadnezzar, 23 people were killed in that thing because there was two weddings at the same time. There's one hall on top, one hall underneath. That was the night when this wedding was meant to take place. But it was pushed off a whole week. This Scheindel, she was saved, and her entire family was saved. In the schiz of going out of her way to make shulam, to make peace, she and her entire family were saved. It just shows that when a person goes out of his way to make peace, then he's going to have all the abundance he needs. But I actually take a help from that. It says in Chazal, Mashiach will come in the schiz of shulam, and Pusik says, Manu avya lehurim raglam evasam ashmiya shulam. In the schiz of shulam, then the Rebbein Shlomo will help that Mashiach will come bekuriv, and we will all be zoichel to all the tremendous abundance and blessings and all our tefillos will be niskabel, and we'll be able to walk away with sacks full of abundance and full of blessings, and we will all be able to keep it for forevermore.